Say the Semantics, episode 255. It is April 17th, 2024. My name is Myro. This is the podcast where I ramble on for a bit about some shit. Also known as the Premier NBA playoff postseason podcast. The Golden State Warriors have been eliminated from playoff contention. Just get that right off the bat. Get that out of the way. Rip the band-aid off. They lost yesterday. In pretty convincing fashion to the Sacramento Kings. It was quite the bad loss. There was a point in the game where it felt like it could have been close. It was at the end of the first half where we were only behind by about 4 points, and just considering how poorly we played in the first quarter, I felt that they had the capability to make a comeback, and it's kind of in a similar fashion to how the Warriors have performed over the course of the regular season. The Kings are a team that have also let up and given up a lot of double digit 20 point leads. So I felt that it was still possible for the Warriors to make a run, make it competitive. But that never really happened. The Kings really started to create some distance in the third quarter. And that was really it. They kind of ran off with it afterwards. They kicked their ass. that's really kind of the gist of it. You know, I've already kind of like previously talked about my sort of feelings about this season, just throughout, how I felt before going into the season, during, and then just sort of right before, you know, the play-in game. And I felt that it just wasn't enough. It was never enough to overcome, you know, the shortcomings, the age, the constant loss of, you know, big leads. These were all just pretty telling of, you know, this team, this particular squad's kind of ceiling, right? I think it just wasn't going to be enough to really make any sort of run. I felt I wish that yesterday's game was closer. I wish that it was just a more competitive game, because it honestly wasn't at all. I felt that at times the effort wasn't there. A lot of this just came on kind of the backs of the vets. Steph played really poorly. Klay played, it's been talked to death at this point since yesterday. His, you know, essentially 0-for-10 shooting performance, 0 points. Obviously, that's a major factor. And then Draymond didn't feel like he had an impact at all, really. Last season with the series against the Kings in the first round, he had a very clear presence in defending Sabonis, and that was a very key aspect of why they were able to pull off in the series. And of course you could pinpoint it directly to Steph Curry scoring 50 in game 7, but I think, you know, Draymond and Kevon Looney, they both played really great defense on Sabonis in that first round series, but it just was not felt at all this game. The thing with like elimination games is that you can't make adjustments for the rest of the series. It's like, oh, we gave up one, but we can bounce back. But there's no bouncing back. There's no bouncing back. And which is fair. That's just kind of how it's structured and makes sense. If we're not good enough to be in, you know, the playoffs in general, I think that given a one chance to continue moving forward is fair. Like if like the 10th and 9th seed were given like a series, it would be too much. It'd be way too much. So single elimination games, I think, is gonna stay for sure. I've already talked about the success of the play-in and all that, so I won't get into that again. But just the way it's formatted now, I think it makes the most sense, with the lower seeds, essentially the worst teams, getting kind of the less of a rope to be able to continue moving forward into the playoffs. I was disappointed by the result. There were moments where I was frustrated and mad, but honestly, at a certain point in like the fourth quarter, I don't know, maybe it was like halfway through the fourth quarter, I felt like I was just kind of accepting it. It just never could feel like there was like a run, like a continuous run being strung together. There was just no semblance of any just like energy shifts or momentum swings. There was none of that. It was just kind of like, we just kind of keep moving forward. We were sort of trading baskets with the Kings, and then they eventually took a lead that was just too much to overcome with the time remaining. You know, when they pushed it past 20, I think it was really the nail in the coffin. So I these are the things. The things I want are just sometimes not what you get. I think as fans of this team, the expectation is that things kind of go out with a bang. And you could point to the 22 championship as maybe what you can consider the last dance of sorts for this dynasty, this championship core. But not all championship teams are going to go out in this kind of send off as like magical, if you want to call it, like, you know, the Jordan Bulls, mainly because it's circumstantial, right? Curry's still playing. Jordan didn't like semi-retire and then come back to play with the Wizards. There wasn't this sense that they were going to run the team. You know, it was very clearly set out by management, Jerry Krause and all of that, and I even like Phil Jackson, there was this very, you know, obvious sense that this is going to be the last season. It was just like told by the, you know, the media over and over again, right? Like, this will be the last season that this is the Bulls that you know and love, right? Like, so we don't get that sense with this current Warriors team, right? We just, we're still clinging on to hope that we can somehow potentially make one more run, that sort of thing. And of course, Curry is still incredibly competitive. I feel you know, just as a competitor, I think that, of course, age is visibly catching up to him, but he still has been able to perform at an incredibly high level. I don't know how much more he can really, you know, how much gas he has left in the tank. I suspect that it's going to taper off within the next couple of years, like, significantly. There's really just, it's like, next year is really the window in which Curry can really perform at like a top 10 player level, and potentially get into a, you know, a position of contention. And the unfortunate truth is the supporting cast is not enough. That's really kind of the main thing, right? We no longer have all-star caliber players. We don't have the bench support. No disrespect to our young players who've been performing incredibly well, but we still the supporting cast of our rookies and you know, second year, third year players are still incredibly young, and it's unfortunately not enough to provide support for Steph. And then you can pinpoint to Draymond and Klay's regression. I think the biggest sort of talking point following yesterday's game, I mean, and most notably in kind of the Warriors circles, is that this could be the last time that we see the three of them together on the team, unless Klay is willing to take a significant pay cut to re-sign back with the Warriors. So it's going to come down to his decision, because he becomes a free agent this summer. It's going to come down to whether he values being able to essentially earn more money over the course of the remaining part of his career, or if he wants to stay, take a pay cut, and continue to be a part of this team, and maybe have a lesser role, you know, maybe have a lesser role, be someone who comes off the bench, as he has, during parts of the season, which has worked out in some cases and maybe not worked out as well in other times. But that could be a possibility, right? If he values that, or if he wants to explore something, try something different in another place, where it's gonna be hard, man. It's gonna be really hard. It's gonna be really hard to envision it until it happens, right? Seeing Klay in another jersey. It's really difficult for me to see him being satisfied playing on another roster. I just don't, you know, there's been rumors linking the Orlando Magic needing a shooter and then potentially going after Klay during the off season, which is like an interesting move. No disrespect to Klay by any means, I don't think he's going to be enough for them. I just don't think he's going to be enough of a factor for them to build into a potential playoff, you know, to be more of a stronger playoff contender with their incredibly young core. I just can't imagine seeing him being like a really, you know, significant part of their future. So I just, and also I'm like thinking about him in an Orlando jersey, and it's just like, oh my God, it's just, it's kind of it's just a little much to think about. Seeing him in another jersey is going to be just weird, right? It's just gonna be, oh God, right? I hope he doesn't leave, but if it is for the betterment of this team, then it is what it is. He's gonna seek out what he needs to seek out. I don't have any ill thoughts for him. If he does decide to leave and, you know, play out his career somewhere else. The things he's done for this team over the decade plus has been incredible, right? I don't even really want to do a whole thing of talking about Clay and all that, because he's still, like, nothing's happened. It's just, there's just this sense, because of his contract expiring and becoming a free agent and all that, that, you know, the Warriors are not going to be able to afford him, which they're not, on if they try to re-sign him to a, you know, some kind of deal where it's an increase to what he's already earned. I just don't see it happening. He's going to have to take a pay cut to stay. So, what does he value? That's just what it comes down to. But I don't want to go into. I'll talk about it and I'll deal with it when it happens. But it hasn't happened yet, so I don't want to think too far ahead, right? I pretty much watched the whole game through, all the way through the end, as they were getting down. Down by 24. There was like a kind of like a melancholy almost. I don't want to be over dramatic or anything, but I just felt, I don't know, when we lost against the Lakers last year, it was like, okay, that was a tough opponent. There was, you know, mismatch with Davis and all of that, and they outplayed us. They had a better team in general. And it was like, okay, you know, we're old. You know, the team is old, but they can still run it back, right? They can still try to find, we made it to the second round. And then if there were, you know, teams that better fit the, better complemented the structure of the team and better complemented Steph, I think that it could be a potential to, you know, be better next year. So there was sort of, you know, obviously we were down, we were feeling down after the loss to LA, but I think there was some hope that changes could be made. And there were some changes in the offseason. They brought in Chris Paul. They drafted Trace and Pajemski and added these pieces, and I saw these roster changes. I did not feel that they were enough to really push this team forward. It just was a combination of age and just the fact that there was a lack of size. These are all things that I felt were not enough to give us any sort of edge for the Western Conference. And with the Western Conference becoming even better and better, pretty much a significant chunk of the conference just improved significantly. So I saw that and I just was not confident. First beginning of the season, we had a winning, you know, we had a nice winning record, and maybe they were kind of quelling my doubts a little bit. Maybe they were proving me wrong. But then all of the shenanigans, all of the nonsense with Draymond just kind of came to a head. And really just took things out. I mean, that was the first suspension following, which one was it? Which, I'm trying to, like, of course there was the Nurkic punch. I don't remember if that happened. Which was the thing that happened before? But he got suspended for, he was out for, like, 15 plus games because of, you know, his antics. And that, I felt that kind of was a contributor, and it's not derailing the season, but resulting in a very under, you know, very just noticeable underperformance, despite maybe what the trajectory was having us with, you know, so it's a certain, you know, certain amount of success, but it just, all of that was just too much. And it was difficult to overcome. I think a lot of the negativity, if you want to call it that, a lot of the issues that persisted last year in regards to, you know, Jordan Poole, that altercation, I mean, you know, Draymond punching Poole, all of that. I don't think that ever left. I think there was just a continuous, just kind of residual stain that was never fully scrubbed out. And then just the fact that the team is old. We have young players, but the vets on this team are old, and it's showing. It's really showing. So moving forward into the off season, I mean, there's going to be plenty of questions and plenty of things to consider. A lot of players are going to need to be moved. That's just kind of it. Who those players are going to be, we won't know for sure. Andrew Wiggins has got to go. I think that's like the big piece that I for sure feel we need to trade, unfortunately. His regression is one of the most just kind of like mind-boggling things that have happened. You know, 2 years ago he was a defensive menace, an incredible two-way player. During the playoffs, during the finals against the Celtics, I mean, he really elevated his game, and we felt that there was he could continue to be one of our best players, just the, you know, dynamic wing, kind of 3-and-D, but also an offensive threat who could create on his own, just all of these things, but it never got back to that point. I don't know what happened, for sure. You know, he was dealing with a lot of personal things in 23. And he wasn't able to play significant minutes until the playoffs happened. So that, I'm sure, took some wind out of his sails. But he never got back to the level that he was performing at in the 22 seasons. And we can't wait around for him to start contributing again. So, unfortunately, he's gotta go. Chris Paul most likely will be traded, just based on the size of his contract and everything like that. What an interesting piece. What an interesting piece to have on our team, and just what a player to have, considering the history between this franchise and him. Having him in one of what might be one of his last seasons in the league, right? It's very interesting. It's a very interesting place to be. I'm sorry that we couldn't get you your ring, CP3. Who knows, maybe if he gets traded to another contender, he maybe have like a last chance, maybe one last shot to get into that kind of position. So that's good. That could be something. I just don't know what team we could even really try to trade with that would get him to that, you know, to get him to that kind of team. So we'll see. But it's unfortunately time for there to be changes if the goal is to try to push for, you know, push to be a contender with Curry at the helm, you know, this next year. I guess these next couple of years, if we're really able to make it work. Or are we going to continue to just be middling, just sort of mediocrity with this, you know, legacy group? Based on Curry's comments, it just doesn't seem to be the case. I'm sure he wants to be contending, and I think that his word is one of the strongest influences for management, obviously, right? As long as he wants to put the team into a position of contention, I think that they should do what they can, right, to make that happen. So it's going to be difficult. There's going to be a lot of difficult decisions that have to be made. But I mean, look, I'm watching this team regardless of where we are. I'll watch them if they're in the dumps. I'll watch them if they are mediocre. Obviously not a great place to be in either position. But I think it would be nice to be able to see them in the playoffs again. At least, you know, maybe like one more time. And if we lose in like the first round or whatever, then it is what it is. But let's give it a chance, right? That's what people are here for. I don't think people really want to see the Warriors. Like, I'm sure people have gotten accustomed to winning, for sure. And a lot of those fans might go away. I don't want to do a whole bandwagon fan bit, but like, it's like people are here to watch them win. And if they are able to structure a team that can maybe win, I think it's worthwhile to shoot for that. I just don't see Curry being satisfied with being in a position like the Bulls or the Hawks, where there's sort of like, let's be competitive, but let's not, we're scared to make change because this has worked in our favor, because fans are coming to watch our games despite knowing that there is no shot that they have a chance to be competitive in the playoffs, right? So that's kind of I don't really want to be in like the position of like a Chicago or whatever, where there's no sense of direction. There's got to be something that has to be done, and I am nervous a little bit, but as long as we have Steph, I think there's going to be something to look forward to. Even if we aren't going to be a contender anytime soon, but at least try to maybe put us in a position where we can like fight, man. At least fight to, you know, get into position. So yeah, that's kind of my whole spiel on my Warriors. not happy, not too happy with the season. But I've accepted that for quite a while now. And it is all just a matter of moving forward and looking forward to the future. I'll touch kind of briefly on, you know, the other play-in games that have happened or happened and that are currently happening. Before the Warriors-Kings game, Lakers and Pelicans played. Lakers won again. Really unfortunate news about Zion going down with a hamstring injury. I really feel for New Orleans fans. They've been through a lot. It's tough. It's really rough. It's just one of the, I don't know, it's such a gut punch to go out with an injury. Like, some, it's not like, like, they lost, but they lost, and then they also lost their best player, too. That's just, it's just brutal, man. I they have one more chance against the Kings on, is it Friday, I believe, that they're playing? Or maybe it's Saturday, or tomorrow. It might be tomorrow, that they're playing again in New Orleans, where they haven't had any success, but New Orleans has also beat the Kings five times this year due to the in-season tournament. So we'll see, man. It's going to be very interesting how it matches up. And, you know, based on what they've reported, it seems like Zion's going to be out. So the Kings maybe have a chance, but it's kind of like a weird, it's like, okay, the Kings, can they essentially sort of face their demons and finally beat this New Orleans team that they've matched up so poorly against, or will they just get beat again without Zion? I think either matchup is probably going to be pretty favorable for the Thunder, right? I mean, they should kind of be like, they should feel pretty confident, at least in the first round. I think they match up pretty well against either team. But without Zion, I think they would probably prefer to play the Pelicans. So a lot of things to consider with, like, matchup favorability and all those things. So I think it'll be a good game. I hope that it'll be competitive, because all the last times that the Pelicans and the Kings have played, the Pelicans have just beat their ass. It's really astounding, like, how bad they own them. Like, it's like kind of weird. Like, it's just like, okay, like, they're the Pelicans are good, but they're, like, not the best. You know, I think it's just like a matchup thing. I don't know. It's really interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. I think either matchup will be really interesting against the Thunder. I think that you got sort of like two younger teams going at it. I like to see that. So I don't have a dog in the race, but I think that either matchup will be fun to watch. Ultimately, the Thunder are probably going to have, you know, probably going to be fine, but we'll see how that goes. Once we get to that point, I'm trying to think, because you know, the play-ins are still happening. The Sixers and the Heat are playing right now. I caught parts of the first half. Ugly ass game so far. I mean, it's like 40-30, like with 3 minutes left to go in the first half. I mean, it's been awful. Like, it was like an awful like viewing experience so far. So maybe it picks up in the second half. We'll see. But and then later tonight you got the perennial matchup of the Hawks and the Bulls. You know, the juggernaut matchup. We'll see how that goes. But I'm trying to like think if I wanna, because we have the officially the playoffs are gonna start this upcoming weekend on Saturday. So I'm trying to think if I want to record something after Saturday or Sunday after the first games have been completed, or if I wanna talk, or if I wanna like wrap up kind of the play-in and then provide and then talk about you know, the matchups like on Friday or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. I might just wait until the weekend to talk about these games. I want it to be as fresh in my memory as I can. So I may record Sunday. I'm not sure. We'll see. I'll see how I feel. But I do want to talk about the playoffs, man. It's you know, once these last few play-in games are complete, then we'll know for sure what the matchups are going to be. So I'm looking forward to that. And I mean, there's only so much I can like preview stuff. Like eventually I just want to talk about the game and what I see and stuff. So, most likely I'll provide my thoughts after this first weekend, after the first game ones, and then I guess we'll get right into it. Warrior season is done, but NBA basketball goes on. So I'll be paying a lot of attention to the happenings during the playoffs. A lot of exciting stuff coming up. So until this weekend, stay tuned. And for now, I'll see you this weekend. All right, it is Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Recording this on a Sunday. Just wanted to do kind of a quick recap of the games that have happened. I was just thinking about it, and I feel that doing a whole, like, I was thinking of recording tomorrow and then just like talking just about all of the games, but I recognize that sometimes when it comes to talking about just multiple games and series, it's a little difficult. Like, it's already hard enough to organize my thoughts in like a cohesive manner, so I feel like it might be better to just hit on the games and the series that have already begun and just talk about that. I feel it'll just make for a better it just lay out a better format for laying out my thoughts. And yeah, I just wanted to do a quick one. I really wanted to talk about and also just be able to provide my reactions a bit quicker, since the games did just happen yesterday, and so I'm able to talk about that you know, just with it a bit more fresh in my memory, as opposed to trying to recount the things that happened during the games like a couple days later. Let's start off with Cleveland and Orlando that happened. That was the very first game that happened on Saturday yesterday. I caught parts of the game. I wasn't able to watch you know, most of it. I don't really feel like I was missing out on too much. It seemed like a really just scrappy game in general. Cleveland came out with the win. I'm not at all surprised by the result. Like, I know last week I went off on Cleveland about how they were essentially, you know, dodging, you know, the more difficult opponent, and whether it be like the Sixers or the Heat. And so like, yes, maybe this matchup is more favorable or whatever, and based on the results of this first game, it seems like they may have made the right choice. If their intention is to get out at least of the first round, then it makes sense. But again, the series isn't over by any means. I think that Cleveland is more likely to be favored, just because of experience. They have the better players and all of those things. But it's only game one. And this Magic team, as I've talked about, is still incredibly young. Like, Vancaro is only 21, which is crazy. And he's already performing at this high of a level. He's already the best player on this team. I think that they'll be, you know, maybe not this playoff series or this playoff run. They're probably not going to be able to make too much noise. But I feel, you know, moving forward, if they're able to upgrade in certain areas, whether it's like point guard or shooting guard, get some people that can actually make some shots, I think that they'll be in a pretty good position. But again, it's only game one. They had a bad game, but they only lost by like 14. And in certain stretches of the game, they were in it. Like, there was a point where they got it down to four, but it just wasn't enough. They just couldn't make anything. It was just clanks. It was just ugly shooting performances. Not too much to really talk about here. I think that Cleveland played better, but just going both ways, it was not a very aesthetically pleasing game based on, you know, the parts of it that I was able to catch in, I believe, the third quarter. The next game was the Sixers? No, it was the Timberwolves and the Suns. I caught basically the fourth quarter of the game, or it was like the third and fourth quarter when the Minnesota's already up pretty, you know, in pretty significant fashion. But there were some pretty pretty crazy sequences with Naz Reid just going coast to coast and then doing that, just like that dribble, just like kind of like the in and out dribble, and then he I don't even know what that move is called, but like he pulled like the ball over Eric Gordon. Like, he essentially he grabbed it over Gordon and then went for the reverse layup. Like, it was a crazy play. And then that little exchange between Ant and KD was like something you see in like a documentary, you know what I mean? Like, that just felt like a real moment. That felt like a little, you know, obviously the series isn't over, but it felt like this sort of passing of the torch moment in a sense, right? Ant's talked about how KD is, you know, his favorite player and everything like that. But it was a really cool moment. It's just like competitive, just sports. That's some real sports shit right there, if you know what I mean. And I thought that was really cool. T-Wolves came out to play. I know a lot of people had doubts, considering that they did not perform well against Phoenix in the regular season. But I think that they showed up, and we got ourselves a series, man. I don't believe the Suns are going to take it lying down. They lost in pretty, you know, in a not in a great fashion, but I think it's still going to be like a decent and long series for sure. It could go either way. It could go either way. This matchup, I've talked about it last time. This was the one that I was like the most anticipated for in the first round, just out of all the series in general. East and West. Knicks and Sixers. You got the whole, you know, it's kind of Embiid versus the Knicks a little bit. And Maxey, too. I don't want to disrespect or not mention him either, but it's really Embiid versus the Knicks. I wasn't able to catch a ton of the fourth quarter because I had some things that I had to take care of, but I was able to watch a good chunk of the game, and it was a great game. Sixers went up by maybe 10-ish in the first quarter. Embiid was just, it was the first five, six minutes of Embiid in the first quarter was just incredible. he was just making all these shots, and just I'm like, dude, this dude is unstoppable. And then, you know, this is the play that kind of everybody was talking about at the, you know, after the game, or I guess after the first half, was Embiid doing that self alley-oop and then coming down on his knee and then having to go back into the locker room. That was just he did come back in the second half, but it didn't look good. That's for sure. It did not look good at all. The whole series rests on him and whether he's able to perform at a certain level or at all, right? It's just crazy watching him play, you know. I mean, that play was incredible, and also oh shit, right? I'm sure Sixers fans felt that when he went down, but he did play through the second half, and the Knicks held on to win. There were some really impressive performances from certain players, Josh Hart and Deuce McBride. They were just making these crazy contested shots, which is wild. It's one of those things. It's I don't know if is it something where you expect these players to contribute in that kind of way moving forward. It's hard to say, right? I don't. It's the random role, not random, but just one of those bench players that you don't really expect coming off and you know, going off, in one of the most important games of the season so far is it happens in the playoffs, man. That's the type of shit that happens in the playoffs. But it's also hard to replicate as well, right? Unless you're the Heat of last year. Speaking of the Heat, I'm just going to touch upon this very, very briefly because the game is basically over, but Celtics are up on the Heat by 30 points today. But I just don't. Jimmy Butler's out. It's really hard. They're not the same team as they were last year. It's also just circumstantial. I think there's some circumstantial things that you can point to with last year's one as well. Is the role players that heated up last year? It was kind of it sort of built up to the point when they did eventually play the Celtics in the conference finals. They already sort of established themselves as these significant role players that are able to contribute many points, right? Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus. They don't have Max Strus. They don't have Gabe Vincent. They did get Tyler Hero back, but now Jimmy Butler's out, and that's you don't have your best player. And I don't think they have the same. They don't have the same personnel as they did last year. They still have Bam and everything, but it just unfortunately, it's just not going to be enough. I don't think it's going to be enough for them to pull off an upset, you know? Really hard to see that happening. I think that it's most likely going to be a pretty, either a gentleman sweep by Boston or just a straight up sweep. So, yeah, I think that's sort of what was expected coming into this matchup. So I just wanted to touch upon that because I just wanted to give it some notice since it's happening right now. The other game that happened last night, I was able to catch a good amount of it, was Nuggets-Lakers. It's one of those matchups, like, similar to, and I feel sort of differently than what other people feel about the Clippers and the Mavs, where it's like, ooh, this is a really interesting matchup. For me, it's just kind of like, we've kind of seen it before. I just want different, you know, I just want different teams. That's why I like the Knicks and Sixers for, so much. Not, you know, like, it's different teams, and then also you got the personnel to be like, this could be a really fascinating series, first round series, right? The Nuggets Lakers kind of is in the vein of Dallas and LA, where it's just, or the Clippers, where it's just kind of like, all right, we've kind of seen this. Like, I feel we've seen this many times already. But here we go again, you know, here we go again. It was just like the most, it was like, here comes the Nuggets again. Like, the Lakers were up by 10-ish points in the first quarter, and they held on to a lead in the half. And then the Nuggets just kind of did their thing. It was the most, like, predictable, like, thing ever. It was just, like, Jokic takes over. The Lakers can't score any points. The Nuggets somehow have, like, the best defense in, like, the last, like, 3 minutes. Like, 4 or 5 minutes of the game. Which I feel like people don't talk about. Like, they clamp up. Like, they make their shots, of course, because they're that good and Jokic is that good. But then it's like on the other side, it's like they also clamp up. Like, you know, Jokic was forcing turnovers. He had like a steal. They were hustling on the defensive end, and that was like, I was like, dude, if they're that like locked in on both sides of the ball, it's like very hard for me to. Yeah, it's just hard for me to envision anyone, at least on the Western Conference side of things, beating them. I think like Minnesota probably has the best chance because they have the defense to show up, I guess. But other than that, it's like, dude, they're just so good. And it's like the Lakers played a good game too. Like Davis and LeBron, they had some really strong performances. Like Anthony Davis was, he got Jokic a few times. Like he had I think a couple blocks on him, but it just wasn't enough, man. They were just cooking in the fourth quarter. It's just impressive stuff, man. It's like I'm just like, damn, dude. It's hard not to like appreciate how the Nuggets play. Like that's just some real, like, championship basketball stuff right there. Like, super impressive. And it's fun to watch, too. So, yeah, those are the games that happened yesterday. There's going to be, you know, I talked about Celtics Heat already. There's going to be 3 more games that happen later today. I will talk about those, and I guess the games that happen on Monday, too. I'll try to figure out, like, what works, but I honestly just wanted to talk more basketball this weekend before it was up, and then try to post this later tonight, try to get this out, but I just, you know, it's gonna be hard to really try to wrap up everything, but maybe I can try to touch upon the games that I did watch and everything. But I managed to watch a good chunk of games this weekend, but there's gonna be more coming up. I will talk about, you know, the games that do happen, that happen later today, and then I guess the games that happen on Monday as well. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that works out, because it's like, I don't know, man. Every game is going to be different. That is the thing, too. Like I said, you're sometimes just going to get games where you have these like unexpected sort of roll bench performers that just come out of the woodworks and just completely just kick ass. And you might get those, you know, later along the line. But we're in playoff season, man. I'm just very excited to talk more basketball and watch more basketball. And then, you know, just keep up on the coverage and, you know, the individual performances and team performances and all that stuff. It's good, man. It's good stuff. I feel very, you know, despite my team not being in the playoffs this year, I feel that there's something about this playoff season that I'm really excited for. And I can also give more time to pay attention to these other teams that I haven't really, that I wouldn't really normally would if the Warriors were in, because then I would just be solely focused on watching Warriors basketball. But, yeah, that's going to be that. Just a quick catch up for Saturday's games. Again, I'll try to do another sort of wrap up. I'll talk about what I feel that I want to talk about. And probably in the next few days. Anyways, thanks for listening as always. This has been Save the Semantics, signing off.